What I think, Andy, is that this is being done deliberately. This is not an accident. Because you had reasonably well-ordered societies, you had advanced industrial economies, and now it's all unraveling, it's disintegrating almost in a straight line. And a lot of it is, most of it is self-inflicted. Namely, Germany, which was the industrial powerhouse of Europe, which until maybe 12 years ago was the world's number one exporting superpower, is suddenly contracting and it's losing its most important industries. And how did that come about? It lost energy competitiveness, because it now pays some of the highest energy prices in the whole world, and they've done it themselves, because after Fukushima, they decided, okay, that's it, no more nuclear power plants. We're decommissioning them all. And I think that about it was in 22 or 23 that they decommissioned the last nuclear power plant. They don't just switch them off, they destroy them so they cannot be switched back on. Same thing with coal powered the plants. I think they still have some running, but they are destroying them one by one. And then they lost the Nord Stream natural gas pipelines, three out of four. So they have the fourth line pipeline. So let's say that each tube was bringing in 50 million cubic meters of or billion of natural gas to Germany per year. They were receiving so much that Germany was actually trading that natural gas to other countries. They had more than they needed, so they were selling Russian natural gas to other countries. So they still have a quarter of that intact. But even if the country is imploding, rather than saying, okay, this was a really, really bad idea, let's just go talk to the Russians and switch that that natural gas, the remaining natural gas tube, switch it back on to make sure that we receive some of that natural gas at least. But they're not doing it. They're insisting on committing an economic suicide. Now, if you tell somebody this is being done on purpose, then the first question is like, why on earth would anybody do this? And one thing that I've noticed is that usually countries, before they end up going to war, they end up having economic recessions and depressions. And so this happened in Germany in the 1930s. So Germany, basically between the two world wars, was one continuous rolling economic crisis. And a similar thing happened in Ukraine. From the time Ukraine won its independence in 1991 until the coup in 2014, Ukraine was the world's dead last worst performing economy. So they had, in those 24 years, they had a negative GDP growth of 25%. Insanity. But why is that? I think it's because when you have a prosperous society where people have good, meaningful jobs, where young people have good career prospects, nobody's very interested in going to war. Nobody's very interested in military careers. But if you create very high youth unemployment, that there's a large pool of potential recruits that you can attract into military service and start preparing the nation for war. And so now I was just looking at Finland today, because Finland has been one of those practically aspirational nations, the home of Nokia. They had, a really well-ordered society, an advanced industrial economy, very high
lot of
school.
natural resources too, right?
Sorry?
A lot of natural resources too.
A lot of natural resources, very high standards of living, world's best educational system, and on and on. And, just one of those aspirational countries out there. I think the only reason more people didn't migrate to Finland is because of their language. It's kind of alien. It's maybe
Yeah.
difficult to learn. Part of the equation was that they were a neutral country. They were neutral, so they traded with Russia, and Russia was their, in some years number one trading partner, in some years it was number two trading partner, but like a huge chunk of their foreign trade was with Russia. And then, once there was this coup in Ukraine, they started joining the rest of the Western nations in imposing sanctions against Russia. And in 2022, when Russia attacked Ukraine, they went whole hog with like the full set of sanctions as the Europeans were imposing. And so far, the Europeans imposed 20 packages of sanctions. Finland signed up to all of them and is imposing and enforcing all 20 packages of sanctions. So obviously, this took a big dent out of their foreign trade. Energy, transport, financial, basically all kinds of everything. The Finns used to often go to Russia for weekends because they could buy booze cheaper, and they could gamble on the ships in between, it was a thing. No more. It's that's all closed down. And so suddenly you have Finnish economy stagnate totally. They've been growing at an average rate of less than 0.2%. And then in 2023 they joined NATO. And so what's been happening in 2022, their youth unemployment rate was about 14%. Just barely over 14%. By now it's 28%.
Yeah, gosh. That's what the wow is.
Just three less than three well 3 years later it's doubled. So it seems to me that if you want to push young men to war, you have to first steal their future. And then when there's about 50% youth unemployment rate, then you offer them an alternative future. You start brainwashing them about, the greatness of nation and the historical injustices and threats and evil barbarians at the gate and so forth. And then you send them to war.
You know, our
And then you
friend Doug
tell them,
Casey would comment on that. I remember a quote from him. He said, "There's nothing more dangerous in this world with the other than a young man with a gun and no reason to go on or live." That's what war is.
Yeah, nothing left to
They give
lose,
him a
something like
reason.
that, right? Yeah, but even like that, it doesn't quite work because Ukrainians, even at the end of this 24 years of total economic devastation, they ran polls, they ran polls in Ukraine 2 or 3 weeks before the war started. And they were asking people, if Russia attacked, which was imminent, everybody understood that. If Russia attacked, would you pick up arms and go defend the country? Do you know how many people said yes? 16% nationwide.
Right?
16, 1/6.
There's
And in
nobody
some
wants
parts of the
more.
country, it was like 5 or 6%. In other parts, it was 20 or so. But it goes to tell you, people don't want to fight wars. And so whoever's in charge of our societies, and it's obviously not the elected government, they're affecting this social engineering program. So they're now transitioning Finland from like a well-ordered, prosperous society to a militarized country poised to go to war.
Right.
And even then, they have to do it the way you see it done in Ukraine, that they go, they get some volunteers, but it's not enough. And then they have to force conscript people. They have to conscript them by force. And then when they try to ditch their, draft, then they scoop them up on the streets. They have these press gangs that go around. They're incentivized with money, like they get, I don't know, 300, 400, 500 bucks per every person that they snatch off the street and take to the front lines. But I think that this ultimately is the reason why Europe is falling apart. And you would think that we have the most incompetent leadership there ever was at helm of any power in history of mankind. But I think that that's not by accident. Because people who have certain competencies, people who understand what's going wrong and they want to right it, they get eliminated from the, And so that's what's worrying me about Europe. And I could say I'm not that worried because nobody really wants to go to war, except Ukrainians didn't want to go to war either.
And they went to war.
And then they went to war. And now, like 1 million plus Ukrainians are dead. And the Western powers are realizing we're running out of the last Ukrainian. We better get the Finns and the Estonians and the Poles and the Bulgarians and the Romanians ready. And so that's why you see the economies all over the place, basically fall off the rails. But at the same time, huge investments are going into the military industrial complex, right? So Finland's, before they joined the NATO, they were spending about 1.4% of their GDP on defense. Well, now they're at 2.5,
Almost
and
double.
by and in another 3, 4 years, they plan to be at 3.2. So, economy's falling apart, but more and more and more money is going into the military industrial complex. That doesn't happen by accident, Andy. This is not the reflection of the democratic will of the people. Nevertheless, it's happening. And so what it tells me is that unless there's a revolution in Europe, unless all of this whole ruling establishment is swept into the dustbin of history, we're really looking at a future of war in not so distant a future, here, meaning, World War III on the European continent. Last time it was 40 million dead. This time it's absolutely unthinkable, but that's where we're at.
Hey guys, Andy here. If you like this clip, please click in the show notes below to get the full interview or in the link in the discussion to get the full interview. We launched NRS World recently, and if you want to be a part of that community, please feel free to subscribe. It'll help us grow the channel to get you the best geopolitical guests that we can come up with and to help you stay informed. See you over there.